Well, good morning again to each one. It's good to be here with you. I've enjoyed the service so far, the devotional earlier and the one just now. Let's see, 2 hours puts us at... I wouldn't have said that, but I got two warnings between Sunday school and now to... I'm not... Lunch is coming, so to take it easy. Well, a few of you have been listening, at least, the idea of foundations this week. And I think it is so true and something ever to keep before us and remember that that is why you do what you do. Because there is a foundation and there is a cause and a reason, and it matters. 1 Corinthians 3:10 says, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." And Jesus said that in Matthew 16, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And that promise from an almighty God that I will do this. I will see that it gets done. It's a promise from God. I will build my church. And here we are this morning, the church, the assembly, God's people come together. And God has said that this is the apple of his eye, the thing that he cares about the most in all of this great universe that he put together, the apple of his eye. And when I was younger, the church seemed a powerful machine with structure and order and stability and direction and purpose. And you know, as you are, I suppose, these little guys that came up and said the verses this morning, to them, the church, you know, it was just around them, powerful and confident, and it was going to do what it was going to do no matter my involvement. I suppose growing up, that's a feeling you may have as a little guy. And the church is going to go on without me, no matter what I do. And I suppose that in a sense that is true. That God had said, I will do this. And whether one of us decides something different, the church will go on. But time and maturity has changed a picture of the church for me just a bit. And I see it that it is more, I've come to recognize it as something closer to something that is alive. And with that life comes vulnerability and perishability, and life can be taken and snuffed out. And the church is something that can be nurtured to grow or destroyed, crushed by disregard and carelessness. And although Jesus has said, "I will build my church," he has chosen to use people to build his church. And what an incredibly vulnerable thing to do. These people who last but a day, whose lives are like a mist, like the grass that grows and quickly perishes. And the fact is that today it is a wonder. It is a witness to the goodness of God and faithfulness and carefulness of those people who have gone before us that have lived and taught and learned and walked. The fact that the church is here today is a witness to their faithfulness. Through their watch in the night, just that little piece of time, which they had. Second Corinthians 4:18 through 5:1 says this: "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." That's the building, a building of God, not made with hands. And so we think of the church as it's given here in Hebrews 12, 22-25. It says, "But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." And so here we sit in that general assembly, and the angels overseeing, and the firstborn, that Jesus, and it is all around us, and here we are part of that. And it makes us feel small, if you consider it, just you. And it ought to make us feel small to be part of that. And yet Jesus says that in our time, in our day, Matthew 5:13, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith it shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And we find in these verses the picture that is our title, a city on a hill. A city on the hill. And if we could make that picture real for us today, that we are that, you, this congregation here in this county of Lawrence. This is the city on this hill. Are you that? Do you feel that? And you are the salt of the earth here in this area. That is you. And the way you conduct yourself and the life that you have lived. And the question is do you shine? Do you shine? I've thought about that already as I consider this verse, that most cities are not on a hill. Most cities aren't on a hill. In fact, most cities are in a valley or along the river or out on the plains. And I suppose outside of a very few large cities have grown big enough to include settling on some hills. There aren't many cities that I know of that are actually built on a hill. Now, there may be some. A city on a hill is kind of a strange thing, at least the way construction is done here in the U.S. But I tried to picture a little bit what that would look like if there was a big modern city up on a hill somewhere. You know, last night, Joe and Debbie took us down there to the pyramid, and we looked out over the lights of Memphis, right down there on the flat, right by the river, on the plain. And a lot of lights there. But it's right on the river. It's not on a hill. And what would happen if you picked the highest of the foothills along here somewhere? Or better yet, find some real mountains, like the West.
And you would build a big modern city right up there in the peaks, you know, New York or Abu Dhabi. 1,000-foot-high skyscrapers. And then you would wait till some dark, cold December night, and then you'd somehow find a way to just turn all the lights on at once. A city on a hill, and that would be impressive. And how far could you see something like that in the clear air of a dark, cold night? Well, Jesus wasn't talking about brick and mortar buildings or skyscrapers. His thoughts were spiritual thoughts, and the picture was a spiritual picture. And his night was a dark night of sin and its confusion in a lost and a careless world. And the light that he was looking for was the light coming from holy lives and the good works of his children. And his city on a hill was the church, that brilliantly beautiful bride of Christ. And he further said that the light of his church could not be hid. Could not be hid. And you know how that is. The saying about a little candle, you know, all the darkness there is can't put out the light of this one little candle. And that's how light is. And light is powerful and overcomes. And he says that it cannot be hid. And it brings to mind the involuntary reality of light coming from his church. And it just is that way. And it just can't help but shine. And it just can't help but make a difference. And it catches your eye because it's the light. Jesus asked his disciples one time, who do men say that I am? And we ought to ask our questions as we consider this idea of salt and we are the light, God's people. Who do men say that we are? Who do men say that we are here in this city? And we could ask the question, is, are the lights on here in Strawberry to your neighbors? Are the lights on? And does the building that's here and the lights coming from this assembly please God? And when Jesus said, I will build my church, did he mean this that you have here? Is that what he meant? There's a warning in Jeremiah 24 that goes like this. 24, 6 and 7. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up. And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And those ideas of God, and he wanted to walk close to people and to help them to build. And he says, I will build them and not pull them down. And I wondered, all you contractors, you builders of many barns, and putting things together with your hands, and you're building stuff. What would it be like if someone followed you around on your job? And you'd put up a board, and he'd take it down. And you'd nail something on, and he'd peel it off. And you'd open the door, and he'd shut it. And that's just a bit the picture I get of Jesus here. He says that, and I will build them and not pull them down. And as we see God's interaction with men through history, we see this this resetting, this recalibration. And they tried this, and God stopped them. And they went down another road, and God corrected them. And they tried the tower there of Babel, and God spread them out. And we see a continuous adjustment and the things that they were building. And God watched, and God was there, and God was interested, and God wanted them to be successful, and God was wanting to help them build. But as they went, He just had to stop them, and He had to pull them down. And the question is, how do you feel as you're building and as you are attempting to live what God wants you to do? Do you feel that pulled down? That I tried this and I made a mistake and God had to correct me? Are we building what God wants us to do, what God wants us to build? And we know from Revelation that Jesus says that I know thy works. And we have that faith that God knows what you're doing here. And knows what you care about. And knows the ways that you are attempting to build. I know thy works. A city on a hill. City on a hill, and is that what you are presenting to your community? I was impressed with the idea, again, of the Old Testament, a city of refuge. And those of you who know your Bibles know what that is, a setup of a series of cities there in the Promised Land where it was an official place that if you had accidentally killed somebody, somewhere you could run to save your life. Somewhere you could run to save your life. And the law said that it's an eye for an eye and a man's life for the life he has taken. But it had this city of refuge that you could go to save your life. Now, I know the analogy breaks down a little bit, but I wonder, this city that we're building, this what you're doing here, This light on a hill, is that how it feels to your neighbors? That this is a somewhere when life is just a mess and life isn't working out and my life is lost, and the weight and the implications and the results of my sin is just, it's just a mess. And I want somewhere to run to save my life. Is that how it feels here? What do you find in a city of refuge that is built on the foundation? What do you find in a city of refuge? Well,
you find protection. They couldn't be gotten there in the city of refuge. And the man chasing them, and if they could just make it there, there was protection. In a city of refuge, you found peace. You were able to sit down. You were able to quiet yourself, and your racing heart from all that running, you could find peace in a city of refuge. You could find safety and conduct your life without worry. Sleep at night without barring the doors, jumping at every noise. You could find shelter. Shelter from the cold. Shelter from the results of your actions. Shelter from the storms. You could find there in the city. You could find provision for you. Something to eat when you were hungry. Something to drink when you were thirsty. Something that somebody had gathered, and you were, till the death of the high priest, not allowed out of the city of refuge there. You weren't allowed out, not ever. And so the things that you ate came to you from someone else. Provision. You found closeness. Closeness with people. Closeness with those who cared for you. Who looked out for you. You found freedom there in that city. And you think about that. Weren't they in jail there? In the city, and they couldn't go out. But the implications out there, and although they could have any time, you know, they just stepped out and went into the big wide world, the implications of that freedom and the threat of that freedom out there. You know, it just made inside so much freer. Inside you found, in that city of refuge, you found harmony and people working together and functioning together and building and providing and protecting together there in the city of refuge where you had ran to save your life. And the question is, are we building that? And is that your experience as you consider the church and your spiritualizing all these ideas now that we have addressed to the Old Testament city of refuge? And is that how you feel about your city here, this assembly Do you feel that? Do you, that protection, the peace, the safety, the shelter, the provision, the closeness, the freedom, the harmony? There, is that how you feel? And a city on a hill that you can't help but being, Jesus said. Is that what you are building, these ideas, as you come to church, as you talk to each other? Is this picture what you are building? No, you'll go out tomorrow and you will, with some intentionality, focus on building something. And you'll get the tape out, and you will the saws out, and you will get the nailers out, and you will make something tomorrow for reward. And the question is that how you do church? Is that how you do assembly? Is that how you do light? With intentionality and focus, and I'm building here. I'm building something. And so the question is that what you feel about this? And then the next question is that what you are doing, building? And the last question, is that what you are? Are you this city on a hill, this light? Do you have these things? Do you have protection and peace and safety and shelter and provision and closeness and freedom and harmony? Is that what this is? And when your neighbors see you working together and they hear about this funny little private school over here doing whatever they do, and is the vision that comes from that, you know, I wish that was me. And when my life's a mess, and it's the third marriage, and the last time I talked to my son, he swore at me and hung up. And the last time I saw my daughter, she was with somebody I didn't even know. And I wish there was a place that I could go to save my life. Is that what they think of when they see you? And all this here, this city on a hill, this assembly, this church of God. You know, it's not just because. It's just not something that I tack on to my life. But this is what I build. This is what I build. There are three words that I'd like to think about as I think about building the Church of God. Any building for that matter, but interacting with these words. The idea of being intentional. Intentional. The idea of being sustainable. And the idea of being sacrificial. And I'd like to take each of these words, intentional, sustainable, and sacrificial, and apply them to some of the ideas we talked about earlier here. To think that we're going to actually, with intention, do these things. With intention. With intention, we're going to have protection. With intention, And so we see there are many little children here this morning. And young people. And they're small and they don't know so much about life, and the devil is out to get them. And so we're gonna put some intention in place about the protection. Intention about protection. And that means that young people, intentional protection means that, you know, you probably have a curfew. And it's time to be done. Why? Or there's places you can't go. Why? Because we're building something here. And this is something we're doing long term. And you need to be part of that. And so you are to be protected with intentionality. Protection needs to be sustainable. And but that it means you've probably seen a case or heard of a case of a mother that is she just won't stop with the protection, and it comes oppressive, the protection, and mom's always there, and mom's always in the way, and mom's... Now maybe that's not a very good example. Maybe I should have used a preacher instead of a mom. Maybe we get them too. And it's just always there and always in the way. And life can't go on without that control. And it becomes unsustainable. And it can't go on without him. Or mom. And so our protections need to be sustainable. And with all these, as we think about working together, probably the biggest one is to be sacrificial. Sacrificial as you think about protection. I will give up me. I will give up me. Well, the next one I had there is peace. And are you intentional about your peace? Intentional, and that intentional has the idea of choice making about peace, and to choose to overlook what was said, and to choose not to jump to conclusions. And to choose to get along. I will be at peace with you. And in a society at war with each other and ever more alone, ever more by themselves and the world out to get me, and ever more shootings by young men who were not at peace. They were at war with everyone. With mom and with dad and with the school teachers and the principal and just everybody. What a startling light to have a group of people 20, 30 intelligent men that can actually sit down and come up with a decision and walk out of here in peace. You don't find that in society. You don't find that. Is your peace sustainable? See, that brings us then to the other side. We're peace at all cost, and just everything goes, don't ruffle any feathers, and we'll just make peace. And you see, that's where the foundation matters, because peace around what?
What will you rally around to have your peace? And so to be sustainable, long-term peace can only be found in truth. What is true? Are you sacrificial about your peace? Sacrificial, be willing to lay down. Like the illustration, the old illustration of Rocky Mountain goats, and the only way to get past each other on a ledge is for somebody to lay down and let somebody else walk on them. And are you willing to be that one to make the sacrifice? And I suppose that makes us that sacrificial, that going into the meeting with that attitude, that I'm gonna come out of this meeting tonight, this brothers' meeting, this school board meeting. I'm walking in, but as I walk in that door, I have every intention. I'm intending, I have decided, when I walk out of here, it's going to be in peace. And with that comes a decision to be walked on, to sacrifice my will for someone else's. Choose to be sacrificial about my peace. I will do that. And is that what you are building? Is that what you're building here? A city that is known for its peace. A city of refuge that people can come and they don't have to sit at the meeting with a racing heart and nerves on edge, because what's going to happen here? But they can walk in and you just know that when they walk out, it's just going to be peace. Well, the next one I had there was safety, and maybe that's close to protection. But are you intentional about your safety? Are you intentional about it? And you've all got, or a whole lot of you have got smartphones here. And the devil's out to get you. And are you intentional about your safety? And nobody has to be embarrassed. Nobody has to be put on the spot. But brethren, it's dangerous. And we need to be careful. And we need to keep everybody safe. And so we make choices. They're gonna get that done, and we're gonna make requirements for your safety, and we're building something here, and we want people to be safe. So when it's time to put the filters on and to be in compliance. And to work together. We're building something here. You're not trying to control my life, and I'm not trying to control you. But the devil is out to get me. And so when you're building something, safety matters. And in the Old Testament times, those walls around the city,
And they were there for a reason. And they knew what was on the outside of the wall, and they knew what was on the inside. And who belonged where. And here again, we could look to the sustainable. Does it really function in life? And personally, that's why I've been willing to take on the huge, messy battle of the internet. And here it comes, and this is life, and this is in the real world. And we could choose to stop the world and get off technology, like maybe some Anabaptists have in the past. And just become an island out there all by yourself. And pretty soon you have lost touch and lost contact with reality. And Jesus prayed that you're in the world, but you're not of the world. And as time goes on, we are faced with battles that people behind us didn't face. And technology moved on. And to be relevant to a lost and dying world is our safety sustainable. Now maybe that's a stretching idea for you, I don't know. Is it sustainable? Is your safety sacrificial? And here you could look to the Apostle Paul, and he says, you know, if it causes my brother to offend, I will not eat that while the world stands. And so in safety here, you know. You may be able to get away with something that I can't. But when you go to heaven, see, will you take me with? Will you? And those of you dads who are strong, and you could handle it, and you could be all right. The question is to you, are you taking them all with you? When Jesus comes. And so, in a city of refuge, there is a sacrifice that blends your opinion on safety. Well, we could look then to the provisions in a city of refuge. And are you intentional about your teaching program? Do you care what all they're reading? And who's all speaking into their life? Do you care? The spiritual food that they get, is it adequate? And is it intentional? And did you think about it? And did you notice what they were up against? And did you talk it through? Or did you just expect it to all just fall into place? And then the question is, and I asked this in a different way earlier in the week, is it sustainable? And so, young men, if it fell to you, could you do this? Could you teach it? Could you faithfully teach other faithful men who could then teach other men? And that's how we got to here. And could you do it? And the question is it sustainable? Is
is your conviction, your knowledge of Scripture, your grasp of doctrine, such that you could do this? Is this city you're building here, an island that will continue? Is it? Is your teaching program there? Is it sacrificial? That means, are you willing to do the hard work and the early mornings and the... And for some of us, it comes hard and it's no fun. Are you willing to be sacrificial? Well, we could look then at closeness in this city of refuge. And I talked about loneliness. And I think we just have no idea growing up. Those of us who have grown up in a setting of people who loved God, the closeness, just the taken for granted family who loves God, and people who will, you can just trust to look out for you, and they're just there, and they're just your friends, and it is startling to most of society to think that you could walk into a building, 100 people here this morning, so I guess the lost sheep is here too. And I just trust them all. And there's just a closeness that I can just walk beside them, and I know they will care for me. And they're all here. But you know, closeness and friendship takes intentionality too. And it takes a willingness to share myself and who I am. And a willingness to speak up and for people to get to know me. Now, for some of you, for you, Joe, maybe that's not a sacrifice. And it's not it just comes easier. Depending on your personality. But for some of us, for me, it's hard. It's hard to let people close. It's hard to do that. Is your friendship and your interaction as everyday walk, and you know each other well, are you building a sustainable closeness? And with that comes some of the Bible directives to mind your own business. And that, you know, you study to be quiet and to mind your own business. And sustainable then has that tension between being willing to be close and to be willing to give some people some space. Are you willing to be sacrificial? And there again, that comes in two forms. And when that closeness is you just feel it's drifting. Are you willing to call them up and say, you know, could I take you for coffee? What is happening? I just feel the coolness, and I just feel it's you know, it just wasn't what it was. And are you facing something? Is there something hard? Can I help? Did I do something wrong? My closeness that can tell when that happens. Because if you have no idea, if you just have no idea, when the meltdown happens, and he's walked out, or the big sin came to the forefront, If you were surprised, you've got a real problem in this area. If you were surprised, see, people don't come to God just like that. And God is a good God, and He holds His people close, and people don't leave God just like that. And somewhere in there, before the meltdown, all these little things, you should have saw it. You should have noticed. It should have mattered. You should have done something about it. And so if you were surprised, you've missed it. In a city of refuge, there is freedom. Freedom to just be yourself. And they don't all have to be like me. And they don't all have to make the same choices I make. And yeah, they might like even a little different clothes than I like. In freedom, you can be free to share your talents and express it and be blessed for it. Freedom means a certain lack of control. And freedom to be themselves, to express themselves, to share their heart, to be free. Free as a person. Be free. Is your freedom sustainable? See. And again, we're back to the other side of your freedom. And we're building something here. And your freedom does not mean that when somebody puts a board up, you are free to jerk it down. And we're building something here, and your freedom doesn't mean you just get to build whatever you want. Is your freedom sustainable? And is that intentional? Your sustainable freedom. And the fact that you know that you are here, and the fact that you have freedom. But sustainable means that I will take that freedom and I will work with others. And we're building something long term and together. And so there's a throttle then on my freedom. And a throttle on my self-expression. And how hard I push what matters to me. Is my freedom sustainable? And is my freedom sacrificial? And I will just take that freedom and I will just constrain it. The love of God constrains me. And I will take that freedom I have and I will bring it down to where it will work with the rest. And Jesus learned obedience in his freedom. And the last one I have here, in the city of refuge, there is harmony. And is that what you're building here? Intentionally harmonizing. You've been there. And somebody was singing along, and for kicks and giggles, he just sang it off key. And just, that whole thing just bound up and it didn't work. You're building something here. And are you building it in harmony? Now you're in a brother's meeting or a Sunday school discussion. And there's some decision to be made or a teaching to be reinforced. And the comments you made and the points you bring up, is it to harmonize? And is there an intentionality to the, you know what? I want to make this work together. And this is going to sound together. And I want to build up the things that you want to build. And to take a discussion up some theological box canyon from which there is no recovery is not insightful or clever. It's confusing and makes you hard to get along with. Do you harmonize? And is it intentional? And I am trying to build with these people. And now you're down at the paint store, and you're down at the rock quarry, or you're down somewhere, and the question comes up, and you know, I was talking to somebody from your church, and they said this. Do you harmonize then? And do you take the opportunity to build it up? And if you saw it not quite the same, to be careful with your disagreement. Or did you take the opportunity and you just cut him down? And I don't see it that way. That board he just nailed up there, you yanked her down. And now let's see, unconfuse the poor man. And so when you're living your life, you're interacting with your neighbors, does this group harmonize? Are they singing the same tune? We could say again, is it sustainable, this harmony? And it's only sustainable as it relates to truth. And that's the funny thing about new ideas, about all the progress. We talked about all these different ways of understanding Scripture this week and the foundation, and it's the attacks on it, and the comforting thing is that the truth is the truth, and that's the only one that will stand. It's the only one. And so you're harmonizing will only work if it's built on truth. Sacrificial harmonizing means that I will, again, give up myself. The first guy to go is me. And I'll be the one to be quiet. I'll be the one to be calm. And I don't have to correct this. And I don't have to make sure everybody knows what actually is right here. I can harmonize.
and can you? And
is that your goal? As you have built church,
you know, you have a lot of young men here, and with that comes a lot of idealism and a lot of ideas. And young men, do you set out to do that? With my idealism and with my understanding and my talents,
I will harmonize. I will.
It's a choice that I will make. You know, a city on a hill, as described here, a city of refuge, is a beautiful thing. And if you will do these things, it will be a light in this community. It will be startling for its uniqueness, for its closeness to Christ. A couple of verses here in closing. Philippians 2, 15, 16 says, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. What a testimony. Blameless and harmless, without rebuke. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, they may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And Malachi 3:16-18 says this, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, said the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall he return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. You know, God knows who his lights are and where they are, and he's coming back and those jewels.